We're in the middle of renovating our house that needs renovation. And so truth be told, I couldn't even figure out if it was, you know, if I think I told a couple people back there happy Valentine's Day because I'm just a little bit behind on everything. But God is good, and we'll be talking a little bit about Valentine's Day. Well, we're going to continue on with the 23rd Psalm, so there's some green pastures anyways. Well, let's pray real quick, and then we'll dive in. Does that sound all right? Not that I need your permission, I just wanted to take a vote. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. We're grateful that we get to be here in your presence this morning, Father. And we just look to you, Lord. We need your help and your guidance and your spirit to just pour into us, Lord. I pray that you would manifest your presence, Father, and that we would experience more of you, Lord, in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one thing I've realized with this series that we've done, if you don't know, we've been doing a bit of a series, but it hasn't been in sequence because it hasn't. So we, you know, a lot of the time we'll kind of team teach, and my dad takes a Sunday, and the gentleman who quoted scripture took a Sunday and quoted all of Ephesians, and so we're kind of back and forth, but I get distracted easily. So I have to be careful. I have to stay on task, you know? So that's why I'm still in the same place, because it's still speaking to me. All right, let's just get going. How about that? I see some of you going, I'm not sure why you're even talking about this. And my thought was, neither am I. So let's just get going. We're actually going to read through the 23rd Psalm first, which I know that's weird. We haven't done that the whole time. So we're going to start with that. So Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So, as I read through that, I know we've taken a lot of time speaking and applying what we've been reading the last few weeks. However, as I was reading it, I realized that, you know, Psalm 23 really shows us the next steps of transitional living as we grow in our relationship and our identity as children of God. So let's just walk through it verse by verse real quick. Verse 1. God is promising that you can trust him, right? He's not only promising, he's revealing, he's proving that he can trust you. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He provides everything I need. Verse 2, we find rest in him. He removes leads us away from outside turmoil. If you find yourself stuck in drama all the time, this might be an indicator that you're not allowing God to lead you into a place of stillness. He leads us beside quiet waters. And interestingly enough, it also says, be still and know that I am God. And God says, be still and know that I am God. And when we're next to craziness all the time, and we're in the middle of the fray of, you know, you name it, drama with friends, or just keeping so busy that we miss quiet time, we miss our time just with the Lord, that's a problem. He's not leading us there. He's leading us into a place of quietness and peace with him. Not saying that we're not going to have trouble, right? But there is something to say about making a decided time where we sit with the Lord and things aren't rushing by. Life's not going crazy everywhere. We set aside 15, 20 minutes, an hour, 30 seconds, whatever we can spare, and we sit and we say, God, you are awesome. You're amazing. Is there anything that you want to say to me? Possibly, like, I'm reading scripture right now. I'm praying right now. I'm reading reading my devotional. What is it that you want to say? Or even just being quiet and just listening to the Lord. It is a two-way relationship. I know that sometimes we get stuck. I know I have. I've gotten so stuck on prayer that I'll pray and then I'll leave. Well, I heard somebody say the other day, anybody that just comes and tells you all about themselves and walks away isn't the greatest friend, right? I mean, do you enjoy it when someone comes and tells you everything about themselves and then walks away before you can reciprocate or even have a conversation? That doesn't sound very fun. And so since we're made in the image of God and he actually wants to have a relationship with us, allow him to speak back to you, possibly through the word, possibly just through impressions that you get. Like sometimes he puts, you know, I'll tell you one of the funniest things God ever said to me, because he's actually pretty funny sometimes, or actually a lot of times. I mean, he made me, you had to have a sense of humor. Between me and platypuses, good gravy. But one time, you know, super, super serious, praying, worshiping, spending time in God's presence, I'm like, all right, what do you want to say, Lord? And okay, this is what he said, nice mustache. And I was like, what? And I just started to laugh. And I was like, well, he made it. I mean, if he wants to compliment himself. But it was like, in that moment, I felt like he was just trying to say, like, could you just chill out? Like, not everything all the time is, you know, writing the book of Revelation. Sometimes I just want to hang out with you and get to know you. And I realize that you're a goofball sometimes. So just let's be friends, you know. So I know that's probably irreverent for some of you, but that's all right. What were we talking about anyways? So, you know, it makes sense that he would lead us into an environment that allows us to know him and who he is, right? So then verse 3, he restores our soul. Have you felt dead inside? He is the creator and he gives life. So we have to let him renew you, let him change you. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We spent a lot of time on that verse. By now we should be able to trust him. He has only blessed us if he is calling us to get rid of something or to follow him down paths that honor him. It would make sense for us to walk that out. Verse 4, we have been with him through hard and easy times. So verse 4 is, he leads us down, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. So verse 4, we have been with him through hard and easy times, times of blessing and times of protection. Now the world hits us straight between the eyes. We lose a loved one, we lose our job, our reputation might get destroyed, we get sick, and where are you, God? And through the storm, he answers and says, I'm here, I'm with you. Don't stop. Walk out of the valley. Don't ask why these things happen. So it's really interesting. If God leads us down paths of righteousness and all these different things, and we can trust him, we actually have trust in him, why do we keep asking the question, why? And why are we not asking the question, what now? Does that make sense? There are so many times that possibly we're in a strange situation and say your car breaks down on the side of the road. Why God is not going to fix your car, but what now probably will. Does that make sense? So why wouldn't we apply that same thought? Oh, looks like we're having some excitement in the... Sorry, got distracted there. So why wouldn't we... See, that's a perfect time. Not why, God, but what now? What now, Lord? What should we be paying attention to? How do we seek you out in this situation? If we have trust in him, we don't need to ask the question, why? We need to ask, what's my marching orders? What are you calling me to do right now? What is it? So for instance, like I was just thinking about a long time ago, there was a... I was fishing with some friends, and there was this little boy fishing kind of across from us, and he got one of the treble hooks in his little cute little 3-year-old, 4-year-old finger, right? And it got past the barb, so that's not fun. I know I don't like to talk about this sort of thing. But here we are all fishing. And after a while, it's like, well, is someone going to go help that young guy? Or are we all just going to keep fishing, you know, for our... And so, you know, finally, some of us go put our fishing poles down and go find out what's going on. And it was not a fun situation. But in that moment, a why... Why did this happen? Let's review why you have a hook in your hand. You know, not the question to ask, but the question we should be asking is what now? And so the Lord is partnering with us. We are his children. And so we don't need to freak out about situations around us because we can trust him and we know that he knows what to do. This is a big change as far as for my own mindset, not going, well, God, you've abandoned me in my time of need. But to go, okay, you knew this was coming, and you're sovereign, and you're safe, and you're good. So what do we do with this situation, Lord? How do I do anything? Do I just worship you? Do I step out and help someone get a hook out of their hand? Do, you know, yeah. So just what now instead of why? Because we know we can trust him. Not saying that why is bad all the time. Sometimes God wants to reveal things to us, right? But it's that why that we throw every anger and doubt at God because we don't trust him. That's a problem. So as we go through this and we know that God has provided for us, God has blessed us, God has given us what we need and shows us that he loves us and all that, we can trust him. One more thing about that is that I've just been thinking a lot lately about how, okay, so think about this way. So, for instance, I play guitar, right? So I play the guitar, string breaks. This is new territory for me. How do I fix a string? You know, I get the string all fixed up. You name it. So then I feel confident in my guitar playing. I feel good about it, but then someone asked me to change the oil in my vehicle, or I need to change the oil. So I have confidence in a guitar, but do I have confidence in changing the oil? They're two different things, but the same rules apply. The reason I bring this up is because I think sometimes we get a little bit confused that because we're entering a new area, that maybe God doesn't know everything in that area because we're not used to it yet. But that's not true. God knows every area, and the rules of Psalm 23 apply to every aspect of our lives. Does that make sense? Okay. I wasn't quite sure if I was going to be able to pull that off because I don't know if I knew what I was talking about, but I think it went all right. So, the next verse says, or the next line says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sorry, but, you know, even though I didn't quite feel right if I didn't get a spanking before I went to bed as a child because I was so mischievous, I still wasn't comforted by the rod and the staff, right? However, that's an interesting verse. Comfort in discipline, not in anger or in an insecure or abusive father. Comfort in discipline. When was the last time you were comforted by correction and discipline? You know, your boss comes to you, hey man, you really need to change things. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I have so much peace right now by the fact that you just totally... Okay, so here's a perfect example, right? So we painted our house that we're working on. I went all through. Steve Moore let me borrow the paint sprayer. I'm, you know, in there with the mask on, all the windows closed. That's probably why it was a bad job. So then, you know, I open all the windows and keep painting. Paint it twice. Everything looks great to me. And then my wife comes over and goes, yeah, the paint looks terrible. And I'm thinking, excuse me. So in that time, I would consider that discipline because I felt disciplined at that point. I had done something great in my own mind, and then she said it didn't look good. And so, you know, if the amateurs do something, send in the professionals. So my wife went and painted. So in that moment, I did not feel comforted. I felt defensive. See what I'm saying? So there's two two parts of that, and I deal with this a lot. I really, really struggle with this. It's probably some sort of insecurity thing, but have you ever had someone tell you something and you didn't like it, and your pride raises up and is like, no, that was right. I did it right. Don't tell me how I did it wrong, because I know I did it right. Because really, you think that they're questioning your character, when all they're questioning is, did you paint well enough? Well, if you didn't paint well enough, no one's saying, oh my gosh, we're going to take you out and, you know, throw you in a trash can because you did such a bad job painting. But in my mind, that's what I'm hearing. You know, my identity is totally wrapped up in this stoop. You know, if we had a leather couch here, I'd just go ahead and sit in it, was, be honest. It all started back in 1985. But the truth is, you know, I mean, there's times where you get embarrassed because things didn't go your way. And I just find it interesting that David had such a relationship with God that he was comforted when God spoke to him in discipline. That's amazing. And I wonder if we're not supposed to, I know that we're supposed to be close enough to the Lord and have enough history with him to be blessed and comforted when he comes and disciplines us. It's pretty amazing. What does discipline from the Lord even look like? I think we all know. But I will say this. An accusatory spirit, a spirit of accusation, is not discipline from the Lord. Does that make sense? When you feel destroyed and embarrassed and frustrated, some of that, yeah, we're just working out our faith, and that's okay. But if you can't get up from that, and you continually scream at yourself and are upset with yourself because something stupid happened, or, oh, I should have known better, or you hit your head on something, like, that's not the discipline of the Lord. That's the enemy trying to make you feel stupid. And when you're a son or a daughter of God, you are not stupid. Your identity is in him. And so laugh it off, allow God to work in you, and keep going. God does not hit you over the head with things because he hates you and is unhappy with you. I don't necessarily think he really hits you over the head with anything, except for with revelation sometime. That's pretty cool. So, verse 5, we experience a lot in our lives. Does God, so this is the verse that says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. So, verse 5, we experience a lot in our lives. Does God really prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies? What does that even mean? Is this a justification for gluttony? No. But could it be that in the times we have no desire to eat, and all the chips are stacked against us, Jesus, who is the bread of life, wants you to enjoy his presence? Say you just get some bad news, an impossible situation. You get the thought to maybe sing praises or enjoy God's presence in some way. He prepares a table, an opportunity, a meeting place where in the middle of the biggest and worst storms you have ever faced, your attention goes to God and the fact that he is your Father, your shepherd, and you have all that you need. So he's like Paul. As a prisoner, he's comforting everyone else on a sinking boat and telling the guards, the crew, and all the other prisoners to slow down and have some pancakes. I don't know if it was pancakes, but just, you know, and everyone's going, the ship is going down. How is this a time to eat pancakes? Hello? When you're able to trust God, you still have an appetite for his presence, even when you're faced with trials. When your trust lays in God, when you have experienced, when you have some history with the Lord, it's amazing. It's amazing. You still have an appetite for his presence. That's that point. Instead of why, it's what next. Because we have enough trust built up that it's not just a piece of dental floss on a doorknob, you know. It's a three-braided cord that's not quickly broken. It's trust in him that's not just going to fall apart. This is adoption. This is us being grafted into the kingdom. We can't get away from the identity that we have in Christ. Okay. So, when you are able to trust God, you still have an appetite for his presence, even when you're faced with trials. This is seen in James chapter 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. This is like a summation of Psalm 23, right? Which is a summation of our walk with Christ from beginning to, I don't really know when, but at least till you actually have the mindset that God is with you and that he loves you and cares for you. So James 1, 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, dark valleys, any of that stuff, consider it an enemies in your face. Consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance has a chance to grow. What is that? So maybe 5 years ago, you know, something bad happens. Oh, this is the wrath. It's the wrath. This is the end times. This is the end times. You know, they didn't have blue balloons for my son's birthday party. What am I going to do now? Whatever that looks like, you know, especially as a child, I think we see this a lot. This last week, I know my son was playing hide and go seek with a couple kids. He was told he had to be it again. He was told that he had to be it again, and then he cried, you know. And I'm thinking, how far have I come? You know, it'd probably happen to me still. If someone told me I had to be it twice, I'd probably still cry, but that's what Nerf guns are for. But, you know, I tell you what. So as we go through this, it's interesting, you know. Man, our endurance having a chance to grow is so important. But it can't happen when everything's going great, does it? So, you know, just like you're not going to be able to run farther if you watch a movie about running. You have to do it. That's the only way it happens, right? So let's start from the beginning again. James 1, 2. You might be tired of it, but I'm not. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. What now, God? It's not in there, but interesting. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. I think that's interesting, going back to the pancake story, if you can call it that, with Paul. A person who doesn't really trust in the Lord is running around the ship. Ah, what do we do? And Paul's like, two or three, man, just cozy up to the bar. Let's hand you out some pancakes. It's all good. Everything's going to be fine. It's all going to be great. God is with us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Have some more pancakes. Woo! But, and maybe it's not quite like that, but you get the idea that when you actually trust the Lord, you can just sit down and enjoy his presence. Okay. So, and then it says, you know, don't waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. I think this is where the issue lies, is that we have one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom of heaven, and 2 feet on a banana peel. You know, it's no good to be divided when you're asking God for help. What is he, a tool? Is he a tool in a toolbox? that we just like, oh God, if you don't provide for me, if you're not here for me, I don't know what I'm going to do. But if you're not here for me, like, I'll probably just go smoke some marijuana, because after that I'll feel a lot better about, at least, like, I don't, you know, I didn't know that you were going to not come to my rescue. So, you know, what is that? The Holy Spirit has given us the ability to worship the Lord, and we have two options. We can either worship the kingdom of ourself or the kingdom of God. The kingdom of ourself will lead to destruction, but the kingdom of God leads to life, leads to identity in Him, which if we don't have, we continually go back and back and back to our old ways, hoping for some reason that returning to our own vomit will make a difference in our life. And yet we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to seek after the Lord in spirit and in truth, because He's proven Himself. Can we prove ourselves in just enduring? Just enduring. We're not talking about being perfect. What about just not stopping? Like, what about just not stopping? Like, fall down, get up, keep going. You know, I know as a kid, you know, there was a couple times where I'd be out with Dan Kovach, and we'd be, you know, hiking around with a couple of kids and our group Rail Rangers. And there was a couple times where kids would sit down and be like, I'm not going any further. And I'm thinking, that doesn't make sense. We're 6 miles from anywhere. If you don't go any further, we're going to die with you. Like, we got to keep going. We have a goal to get to. But it's interesting, because that's when, like, when we start finding our own solutions and worshiping the kingdom of self, we actually get to this point where we just sit down. And God, all God's asking is, I'm not asking you to take leaps and bounds and jumps. I'm just asking you to not stop. Just keep walking towards me. Keep walking down that path of righteousness for my name's sake. Because He's a good God. And He is faithful. He's so faithful. Whew. Okay. Well, thanks, Gary. Praise the Lord. So, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And that's the sign of the Holy Spirit. My cup runs over. So you're refreshed in the face of trial to the point where you have so much you can share with others. Whoa, what a day. That's pretty incredible, right? I'm going to share one more verse that I don't have on here. It's Philippians 1:27. And I'm going to read out of a version, translation called the Passion Translation, because the way it says it is just amazing. I have an old phone, so it's going to be thinking for about a half an hour. You might want to just come back tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. I'm almost there. Yeah, Philippians 1:27. First Philippians, as opposed to no other Philippians. Okay, also it says this. In the Passion Translation, it says, whatever happens, keep living your lives based on the reality of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, regardless of whatever happens, keep living your lives based on the reality of the gospel of Christ. The reality of the gospel of Christ. Not what you are experiencing, but the reality of the gospel of Christ. How many of you know you've experienced something in your life that was not the reality of the gospel of Christ? But that doesn't make the Bible inaccurate. It just means that the enemy is a fat liar. Does that make sense? There's some stuff going on in my life. This is not heaven, but God asks us, begs us to pray that His kingdom comes soon and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so it's not a perfect work on this earth, but He's calling us to prove His perfect work to others through His Holy Spirit. So whatever happens, continue to live out the reality of the gospel of Christ, which reveals Him to others. That's what reveals Him to others. It's nothing else. It's not preaching. It's not hashtag devotionals in the morning, you know, with on the Instagram. You know what I'm talking about. Well, maybe some of you do. I've never done that. I've been too embarrassed. But man. So, oh, it's so good. Obviously, I'm a little bit lost, but that's all right. What's new? So, after all we've gone through and have trusted God with, verse 6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So after you've been through all these verses, after being provided for, comforted, disciplined, made righteous, been able to trust him through tough times, experienced his presence and goodness in the midst of storms and trials, surely, not even a question, that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've been trying to figure out how to explain what it means to have goodness and mercy follow you wherever you go. Could you imagine being at a lake, right, with some friends, and you hear, you know, a motorboat, a ski boat, whatever, and you look up and you see the wake behind the boat. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Could you imagine that you were like that boat, and people looked at you and they're like, oh, I can see Chris because goodness and mercy follow him everywhere. That's what we're called to be as Christians. Like, that's the promise as we live Psalm 23. That's the identity that we live in, that as we seek after the Lord and as he pours into our hearts and as we walk out, difficult times and struggles and follow him in righteousness and all these different things, we are literally known for goodness. Like, it's not even a question to David. Surely, after all these things, goodness and mercy will follow me. They will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not a question, not debatable. This is not theory versus fact. This is, have you seen what's happened as I've lived out the reality of the gospel of Christ? Have you seen what's happened? And David was before Jesus even came. Wow. So, yeah. All people have to do is look for the wake of goodness and mercy, and they'll find you, a child of God, creating awareness of the kingdom of God. Can we pray? All right. So, Lord Jesus, we just seek you today, Father. This is in some ways, it's a tall order because it's not something that can be done. It's not something that can be given in a package. It's more like a compass. It's more like a map and a compass and a backpack as we go out on an adventure to learn and to grow. But Father, how amazing have you allowed this adventure to be? And God, I know that we're all in different areas right now. We're all in different mindsets. Some people probably didn't even know what I was talking about today, and that's okay. And some people were tracking with pieces and other pieces, but I know, Lord Jesus, that you are speaking to each one of us. God, you are so faithful. You are so strong. You're so mighty, Lord, and you are so smart. You do not shoot from the hip. You knew each one of us before we were even born. And we're grateful that you have plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. I pray that every day we would live out the reality of the gospel of Christ, so that other people can see, but also so that we could see. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that, Lord, for those who haven't actually met you yet in this room, that you would reveal yourself to them right now in Jesus' name, that they would open their hearts to you, and they would allow you to come in, Lord. Allow you to start making changes, that you would be their shepherd, and that they would lack nothing. They would be filled with righteousness. They'd be filled with your spirit as you anoint them. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just pray that you'd cut the barbed wire off of the hearts of those who are protecting themselves from an evil father that they've heard about or have experienced. And I pray that you would soften. I know it's that verse, God, that says it's your kindness that leads them to repentance. It's your kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not your anger. It's not your attack. It's your kindness. So, Father, I just pray that you would remove and that we would remove whatever part is our job, whatever part is your job, that you would remove the callous and the self-reliance that's around us, Lord, around our hearts, around our minds, that we would really let you in, that we would really, really let you in, and you could be in charge, Father. And you could show us how to live righteously. And you could show us what it's like to have a loving, good Father who does not depart in hard times. It's not like we look back and you're gone when we think you're there. You're always there, and we can trust you in that, even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when the room is filled with smoke and we can't see a thing, you are with us, Lord. Just like Daniel with Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery furnace, you were there. You were there way before that. Thank you for your spirit, Father. Help us, Father God, to rejoice in trials so that we can grow in endurance, in faith and trust in you, Lord. Thank you for all these things today, God. And I just pray that we grow closer to you and fall more in love with you, or fall in love with you for the first time today, God, in Jesus' name. Hey, just with your eyes closed and your head bowed, we haven't done this quite like this in a while, but I just want to give opportunity to anybody who may not have made the first step to letting God be your shepherd, may not have given you the opportunity, you know, you maybe never even had the thought or the opportunity to let God be your dad and to help you know that he's with you and to become the center of your life so that you can just be in perfect peace and so much more. And I feel like I'm not doing a great job, but there's just so much of God. He's so amazing in so many ways. To explain him would take more time than any of us have ever had. But he's so good and he loves us so much. And I just want to give you an opportunity today to just firmly make a statement that you want to know God and that you are receiving his gift of salvation as he pulls you out of your old life and makes you a new creation. If there's anybody here who has never done that before, and you're like, this is the day, I got to give my life to God. If God's this good of a shepherd, if he's that faithful, if he cares that much, if he's that good, if you've never actually made a decision in front of everyone before, and you feel like, man, this is the day, I don't care what people think, I got to know this God. Could you just slip your hand up and say, this is the day. This is the day that I've got to give my life to God. I've got to actually, like, live my life completely for him. Not just heard about it in church, not just heard about it from family members, but I'm making a stand for myself this day. From this day forward, I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to receive his kindness and his goodness. Is there anybody in here who needs to make that decision? All right. I want to give you a chance, too, because I think some of us get stuck on the why. Why, God? Why? I want to give you a chance just to stand for God and say that he is trustworthy. Because some of us need to actually make that stand. We actually need to physically stand up and say, God, I know I haven't always trusted you, but I'm going to start asking the question, what's next, instead of why. I'm all done trying to make you prove yourself over and over again, and I'm ready to walk with you. Is there anybody in here that just needs to make that stand? Do they just need to stand up right now? You just stand up where you're sitting, just stand up and say, God, I haven't exactly honored you with some of my mindsets and some of that other stuff, but I'm ready to stand up today. And I'm ready to actually trust you and stop asking why and asking what's next. You are a partner with God. You are a child of God. You are not being judged, but you are also not God, and you are also not allowed to judge God. But he is good. So just start to talk to him right now. Just start to speak to him and just pour your heart out to him. I think some apologies might be necessary too. God, you see the hearts and the positions of folks standing for you right now. And Lord, I just pray that you would, I thank you for just taking that as the declaration that we're going to trust you more, that we partner with you, Lord, and there's enough trust built up that we're going to take more steps in following after you, and we're not going to judge you for what happens in this life, God, but we know you can help us navigate through this life, Lord. You're so awesome, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just pray that you continue to speak to each person here, Father. Continue to just pour out your anointing, your Holy Spirit on each person here, Lord. Thank you for your refreshing today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. Or you can all stand up, I guess, is really the way we... Sorry, you can all stand up. Going back to my mom's Catholic roots for a second. Sorry, never mind. Shouldn't have gone there, but I did. That's all right. Whew. All right, well, can we have the prayer teams come forward? Is that all right? Gonna seek after the Lord. I highly recommend, even if it's not a physical ailment, if you need prayer for anything, we say in youth group, from grandma to goldfish, you know, my goldfish died or my grandma's in the hospital. Anything between those things that you need prayer for, you come on up. Nothing's stupid, nothing's embarrassing. Come get prayer, come get encouragement, come get refreshed. All right. Well, bless you. Bless you, bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. You are